That's why we at Hayden Consultancy don't use or engage with any AI programs to manage our campaigns. There's a few things that come into play when needing to make a decision that I don't think the AI is ready for yet. Seasonality, of course, for certain products. If we're working on an ice cream brand, we're probably not going to want to blast spend in December. But then there's also things like keeping in mind when we know ahead of time when in-store promos are going to happen, or we can match up different coupon programs or different other kind of like in-store engagements that the AI definitely doesn't know about. And so if I scroll over and I see, oh, we have a 20x ROAS on this keyword, how are we making so much money? But then I see it's a branded term. Now I know, and I'm not going to go and blast that bid to be a super high number. So I just think there's a lot more strategy involved that make it tough to be fully AI. On the AI front, I'm not convinced yet.
From KZSU, Stanford University's FM radio station, broadcasts across the Bay Area on 90.1 FM and worldwide at kzsu.org. From the campus of Stanford University and on location, this is the Innovators Radio Show and Podcast, featuring in-depth one-on-one interviews with mission-driven entrepreneurs, renowned thought leaders, and game changers committed to ideas and innovation. Our radio show and podcast illuminate the struggle, breakthroughs, and exceptional outcomes game changers bring to industries, organizations, and lives. The Innovators would like to thank Leonid for underwriting the production, writing, and broadcasting of The Innovators. Leonid Capital Partners is the leading private credit firm focused on the United States government sector. The firm offers a variety of flexible financing options for its small and medium-sized business clients, including term loans, lines of credit, venture debt, and acquisition financing, all tailored to the unique needs of those working with the federal government. Feel free to learn more at leonidfinance.io. Today, we are honored and excited to be joined by Eleanor Hayden, founder of Hayden Consultancy. After managing the convenience and gas business for PepsiCo in Utah, Eleanor moved on to Kodiak Cakes to build out the shopper marketing department from the ground up, and later Siete Foods. Hayden Consultancy is a shopper marketing consulting firm servicing CPG brands and managing retail marketing programs in the United States and Canada. Since launching in 2021, Hayden Consultancy has helped over 30 brands with their retail media programming, shopper marketing needs, merchandising strategy, and execution. For more information, feel free to visit their website at haydenconsultancy.com. Hello, Eleanor. Welcome to your show today. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you as well. Thanks for having me.
Eleanor, we like to start our show off with a quote or a mantra, if you will, that resonates with you personally and professionally.
Yeah, personally and professionally. It's funny because this is exactly what I think of this quote across both my personal and professional life. My favorite is, if you tell your friends and family about your dreams and they're not laughing, they're not big enough. And that's my favorite quote because I think I've always been someone who doesn't necessarily look at what everyone else around me is doing to prove success. It's more, how do I continue to level up and do better every day? And it's funny, it's really applicable to me because I really want to retire at an earlier age. And I say retire because I want to spend time with my family, and I love doing some of the more lovely outside things that don't require me to make money, like gardening, or I'd love to have a farm and have a bunch of rescued chickens and cows come live at my house instead of being on the Taco Bell menu. So that's what I want.
Eleanor, that level up, describe for your audience today what it really means to you to level up day to every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I think in my personal life, leveling up means I have two sweet little babies. I have a 9-month-old and a 4-year-old. And for any other parents out there, a 4-year-old requires quite a bit of patience. And so I think leveling up is really, how can I be the best version of me for my sons as they're growing up and help them achieve their goals, and then also managing my patients and all of that. And then from a professional standpoint, I work with CPG brands of all sizes. Some of our clients are in the $5 million a year business size all the way up to $200 million a year businesses. And being able to really think about how I would run marketing or run a business for these brands, if I was in these brands' shoes, whether it's with larger budgets or not, but just remaining scrappy and staying really focused on how we can continue to help really stand out against the even larger giants like PepsiCo and General Mills and some of those other guys. So how do we level out the playing field and have a brand like Olipop, who is out there trying to better people's health and get better options in front of consumers, how do we make them even and more accessible to people, just as accessible as maybe a Pepsi or a Coke would be? So
that's stay scrappy.
Yeah.
Share with that what that means to you.
Yeah, I think it's funny because I think it's something you hear a lot in CPG, because all of these companies usually started by somebody who's maybe never worked in the industry before, but had an amazing recipe or just like a super passion about a certain type of product that they're really excited to share with others. And a lot of these brands are bootstrapped from the beginning. So they're figuring out how they can get as much as they can and the biggest bang for their buck with the smallest budget. And just thinking like an entrepreneur for the brand on my end, I do a lot of advising and consulting from the marketing standpoint, but even within that, you need to have like this lens of entrepreneurship and understanding, hey, like we got to look at what the total kind of bottom line is. What's our take home? And that's why a lot of the marketing programs that we run, most of what we run is very focused on being able to report back the revenue generated based on our ad spend and our ROI, and looking at like the return on the marketing investment. So taking kind of your contribution margins and making sure that even once we factor all of that in, you're still making money at the end of the day, because brand awareness is very important and having people learn about your brand. But at the end of the day, if people aren't buying it, you're not going to have anything to market. And so we got to have as much trial and reach as possible. And we do that a lot through some of these different retailer marketing programs. Like there's sponsored search platforms that we help brands get set up, and then we manage their campaigns on an ongoing basis for them and help them grow within platforms like Instacart, or if you've ever put in an order on your Kroger.com pickup and delivery site. So we do it for Kroger, Target, Walmart, Instacart, Whole Foods, pretty much anybody who does a grocery delivery. So
is there a criteria or a vibe or a sense when you see and know a product can be a hit?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's so funny. I was on TikTok the other day, and there's this creator, her name is Justine, and she's such a like good chef, but she was talking about like the hot girl brands. And I was like, this is so real, because there are totally some brands out there that are just like, for whatever reason, it's like when you look at, maybe it's the founder of the company meets like the creative and the branding and the product and the mission, like all of it together just makes it just so exciting. One of the brands she called out was Fishwife. And I thought that was an interesting one, because Fishwife is, I believe their founder was like a graphic designer, and you can tell like the packaging is gorgeous and everything about it is just very like cool and hip and smooth. And like, how do you make tin fish hot? Like, they're doing something right. So those kinds of brands I think are pretty interesting. It totally depends too. There are some brands, even though they're like a super cool hot brand, maybe they're still really early. So it might make sense to hold on running shopper marketing or figuring out how to get engaged with some of these management services. Because what we do at Hayden Consultancy, we manage shopper marketing in every aspect. So we, of course, have all the relationships with the retailer marketing teams. And so we help with new product launches and things like that. But from a sponsored search perspective, there's a couple routes brands can go. Usually most brands have heard of companies like Flywheel or Perpetua, Tika Metrics, like all of these kind of big agencies. And those agencies all use AI to manage the sponsored search campaigns. And it's interesting because though it is a really great way for them to scale their business and be able to manage a ton of, what I've noticed is in a lot of the brands that have come to us from some of those agencies is they've hit a point of diminishing returns so quickly because the AI, first off, AI is still so young on these grocery platforms because grocery platforms are still so young. Two, the AI is modeled from the same AI that they're using to manage Amazon campaigns and Walmart.com or any D2C campaigns. And the way a person is shopping on Amazon is so different than the way they'd be shopping for groceries online, let alone in store or any other kind of situation. But like you think about it, when you're going and putting in your grocery order online, you might be getting like a couple of protein shakes and maybe like a jar of peanut butter. But if you're buying it on Amazon, you have to be like a super fan because you're like, I got to buy 50 protein shakes and 10 jars of peanut butter or whatever it is. So just the way the shopper thinks is very different. And then even you think they also manage like Google ads and things like that. So now you're throwing in keyword searches that are like, where to find. No one on Instacart is saying where to find my Owen chocolate shake. I think the AI still has a lot of work that needs to be done. I think it's like getting the job done to a certain extent for brands. But yeah, the point of diminishing returns is far shorter. The other piece too is that there isn't, I haven't seen at least, any AI programs that will manage display ads or shoppable display ads on Instacart or sponsored brands campaigns on like Walmart and Whole Foods. And those placements are super valuable for brands. So I just think for us, our biggest kind of point of differentiation is that we manage these campaigns manually and we reevaluate every single month on what we could be doing differently. We look at a series of KPIs. We look at gross profitability, return on marketing investment. We stack up our spend to our ROAS and see where we're landing. But it's so interesting because it's like a puzzle, right? Every month you go in and you're looking and you're saying, okay, what could we be doing better? How do we, at the end of the day, how do we help grow the bottom line and drive more trial? We like to look at new to brand growth wherever we can and new to brand engagement and users as much as we can. Those are all things that right now, at least, I haven't seen an AI platform really take much into account other than spend, budget, like the budget and a ROAS goal. So that can be tough because ROAS is not a linear metric. I don't know if you guys really know a ton about ROAS or what looking like. Yeah. It's just not linear, right? Like I've worked with brands that are like, whoa, we have a 5X ROAS on a 10K spend. Okay, let's spend 50,000. And I'm like, it's not going to stay 5X if we just jump up to 50. We have to ease into it and try to, as we grow spend, try to make sure that we're affecting our return on ad spend as minimally as possible. But finding the right balance between ROAS and ad spend is super important because let's say you spend, just for the sake of a quick, easy calculation, let's say we're spending $1,000 and we have a 5X ROAS. Okay, if we increase our spend to $2,000, but we drop our ROAS to a 4X, we're still, if you look at like your take home at the end before, it was like you get $5,000 in sales minus $1,000 in spend is $4,000 in gross revenue. And then, but with at the 4X ROAS, you'd have $6,000 in gross revenue. So I know it's like weird doing math in your ear, but I think just like thinking about it, the point of that example is really just to show sometimes it does financially make sense to allow yourself to drop your ROAS a little bit if that opens up the opportunity pool of shoppers. And that's what we're constantly working on for brands.
What a fascinating show. You're listening to The Innovators Podcast. We're talking today with Eleanor Hayden, founder of Hayden Consultancy. For more information, feel free to visit the website at haydenconsultancy.com. Eleanor, with the statistics and the AI and the formulaic processes, how much does the human element play in your work?
That is such a great question. So I think it's super important. That's why we at Hayden Consultancy don't use or engage with any AI programs to manage our campaigns. There's a few things that come into play when needing to make a decision that I don't think the AI is ready for yet. Seasonality, of course, for certain products. If we're working on an ice cream brand, we're probably not going to want to blast spend in December. But then there's also things like keeping in mind when we know ahead of time when in-store promos are going to happen, or we can match up different coupon programs or different other kind of like in-store engagements that the AI might not, definitely doesn't know about. And because we have that information ahead of time, we can save quite a bit of money on spending on sponsored search because our relevancy will be heightened based on the TPRs. Some other things that I like to look at is when we're looking at campaigns and we're editing each of these bids individually, we're looking at, of course, the data. It's all very data driven, but we're also looking at what is this keyword? And so if I scroll over and I see, oh, we have a 20x ROAS on this keyword, how are we making so much money? But then I see it's a branded term. Okay, now I know, and I'm not going to go and blast that bid to be a super high number because I want to make sure that we're not spending too much on branded terms, but spending enough to protect against our competitors who are bidding on our terms. But then when I'm teaching about how to manage Instacart or some of these platforms with my team, I'll tell them like, this is one I would take a gamble on. This is a keyword that I think this brand, if they, maybe if we were like investing at the suggested bid on this keyword, that would open up the pool so much more. And this could end up being a top keyword for us. So I just think there's a lot more strategy involved that make it tough to be fully AI. Now, if we were to turn our kind of strategy into something like an automation, that could be interesting. We can maybe teach an automation how to do some of this stuff. But on the AI front, I'm not convinced yet.
There is the great Steve Blank, we have him at Stanford, had said that an entrepreneur is much more so an artist than an executive. And he wrote almost the book on entrepreneurship in many ways. What's your thought on that?
How cool. That's pretty cool. It's interesting to think about. Gosh, artists can mean so many things, right? I think, in terms of being like strategic and having to really lay things out, I was joking with my husband before this call and I was saying, okay. I was like, I have an interview with people from Stanford. I was like, this is the closest I'll ever get to an Ivy League. My mom would be so proud. And I always make the joke because like, I wasn't necessarily so killer at school and I did my best. I graduated, I went to college, I did all the things, but like I was probably not Stanford material. And it's funny because what you said reminds me a little bit of that. It's like, you're not always meant to, what's the quote? It's like trying to fit a square peg into a
round hole.
Yeah, round hole, exactly. Yeah. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're not set to be someone who's going to be really successful and grow. And I think finding entrepreneurship for me was so huge in my career, not only for my career, but also for my like own personal kind of the battle with imposter syndrome. And you're like, am I really supposed to be here? Do people really think this is good? And then you see the case studies and you're like, okay, it's good. This is good. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I didn't really like fully answer your question there.
You did.
There.
Yeah,
okay.
You really did. Because okay. There wasn't a right, there's no incorrect or correct answer. I wanted to hear for you, your experience, and from your essence, what that meant to you. Because so much you're still talking with analytics and statistics and processes and formulas, yet that human element keeps coming in there as I call it data-driven but human decision.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, okay. That's the IP. You can.
That's awesome. That.
Data-driven human decision.
Love that.
Thank you, Eleanor. That essence, where do you think you've got the drive to do what it is you do right now? If you can look back as far back as you can recall, when as a child even.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Are there any galvanizing moments that make sense to you right now as to what it is you do, what you do, for who you do?
I think I've always craved a challenge, and I love puzzles and things. And it's funny, even ever since I was little, my mom would be like, Eleanor, you are moving 1,000 miles a second. Slow down. We got things. And I'm like, no. I remember coming to my mom with like my plan I was in second grade. I was like, when I get to high school, I'm going to do the law magnet. And then I'm going to go to college and be pre-law. And then I'm gonna be a lawyer. And I'm going to do these things. And so I always had some sort of like fully thought out, very detailed life plan. And even though it changed, I think I always found comfort in having some sort of plan and knowing that I was working on something. And I went through everything. I thought I was going to be a lawyer. I thought I was going to be an engineer. And I went through this whole thing. And then I ended up going to college for business. And I was like, wow, I think it's so funny. I think entrepreneurship's always just been at my core. My family, both my parents are actually from Israel. They immigrated here, 40, 45 years ago, probably now, 40 years ago, maybe. And they started their own business out here. They've been running it for a really long time. It's called Central Diamond Center, based out of Dallas, Texas. And yeah, they're incredible. They came out here. My dad was like working at the deli at Kroger, and my mom was a waitress. And yeah, they've just, gosh, how much they've been able to do so quickly. It's so classic, real American dream. My parents are really successful, always been such great role models for me to look up to and always encouraged. Whenever I was interested in businesses in high school, I was like really into baking. So I started like a little cake baking business and did birthday cakes and stuff for people. And then in college, I got a commercial kitchen and I had a business called Ballistic Bake Shop, and I sold baked goods to small grocery stores and coffee shops around Boulder. But I just think it's like always been in my blood. And maybe now that we're talking about it, I'm like, maybe that's where all the scrappiness came from. My parents just always had such good ideas and were just very like creative. I mean, they just always made things work, and it's just a lot of really cool stuff to look up to.
Thank you for sharing that. This is terrific. Yeah. What would you say, what would you like to share, since we're, I'd love to have you on again if you're open to it, Eleanor,
sure.
For sure, because there's so much more we can cover. I really believe that. What would you like to share with your audience today that we haven't talked about?
Oh my gosh. I feel like we've barely scraped the surface. There's just so much opportunity within shopper marketing and what it can do for CPG brands. And I think I don't know, I'm a really friendly gal. So if you want to reach out to me on LinkedIn and ask me a question, I think never be scared to shoot a message over to someone and see. Tatum, you and I like talked so briefly on LinkedIn and it turned into this conversation, and how cool, what a like incredible relationship now. So I think take a chance and just go for it and see what you can get.
Eleanor, it's been a real honor and pleasure having you as our guest today. Thank you very much. Again, I'd love to have you on in the very near future.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you again, Eleanor. You've been listening to the Innovators Podcast and Show. I'm Tom Dior. Our guest today was Eleanor Hayden, founder of Hayden Consultancy. Hayden Consultancy was founded in 2021, and they've helped over 30 brands with their retail media programming, shopper marketing needs, merchandising strategy, and execution. For more information, feel free to visit HaydenConsultancy.com. It's Hayden, HAYDEN, Consultancy.com. The Innovators Podcast is recorded at KZSU Stanford University Studios in Stanford, California, and on location. Today, the recording engineer is Stephen Blanton, and our chief engineer is Mark Lawrence. Thank you for listening. We hope to see you. Join us next time.